Welcome to Shared Spirits, a comedy, true crime, paranormal podcast hosted by the best of ghouls. Take two, because I'm an idiot.
And I'm also now you're bleeding on my bed.
I will get a tissue.
What is this podcast?
I don't know, dude. I'm going to go get a tissue. Why don't you? Why don't you
Band-Aid now that you're bleeding on my bed?
I hate Band-Aids. You know this.
Why do you hate Band-Aids?
Because they never work properly, and both of us have reactions to adhesive at
That's
times.
True. Adhesive just makes me very itchy.
It cracks Dan up to no end that I hate Band-Aids.
You are one of the klutziest people I've ever met, so I do think that's very funny.
Well, but it's like, I don't know.
Yeah, no.
I'm one of the klutziest people you've ever met, so I've also had a disproportionate amount of time to the normal human being with Band-Aids on my body.
I mean, oh my god, there's so much blood right there.
Dude, I bleed really easy. Oh,
you dripped onto your foot. Oh, how much blood is in my room right now?
None.
Oh my god. Alright, well, that's not the topic of today's episode.
That's not the topic today.
Today's episode, we are talking about Stockholm Syndrome, specifically comparing and contrasting and talking about the case of Colleen Stan and Elizabeth Smart.
And so, I know that we don't have to go through our entire bit that we started the first take of this with, but I thought it was very important to say, Dan, we're not cheating on you this time.
Oh, yeah, so last week we mentioned, apparently in a very long tangent, how we started watching You without Dan. Three. And he never listens to this. He's listened to, like, one episode prior to listening to, apparently, our last episode, where he found out we cheated on him.
And then he confronted me at work, and I had, like, absolutely no idea. But Dan, just so you know, we're not cheating on you. We're not watching You, whatever episode that we're all on together.
No, we love you, Dan.
But
we're not cheating on you.
We're comparing and contrasting Colleen Stan and Elizabeth Smart to discuss Stockholm Syndrome through a wider lens. This is a specialty episode, not unlike when we did the children murdering children episode a little while ago.
Yes. So for this one, so just a brief overview of like Colleen Stan and Elizabeth Smart case. So Colleen Stan was otherwise known as the girl in the box. She was kidnapped by... Oh my god.
You just said it. Come on.
Cameron Hooker and Janice Hooker. They were a couple. They even had a baby together. They had two kids. And she was kept in a box under their bed for the majority of her 7-year imprisonment. She was kept there for like... Don't put your bloody tissue on my bed. What are you doing?
I just set it down for a second.
Don't put it on my bed. Oh my god. You're so weird.
What do you think? That the blood germs are gonna get out?
Yes. I don't want your germs. You might be sick. I don't want your germs.
Think about what you just said and what we do together on a daily basis. And yeah, that sounds way dirtier than it actually is.
I was gonna say, no, I don't want your bloody tissue on my bed. I don't feel like that's too much to ask.
No, it's not. I just set it down for a second and then I picked it back up.
Yeah, because I yelled at you.
I actually picked it back up to continue dabbing blood.
Oh, actually, not because I yelled at you to not put your bloody tissue on my bed. Anyway, I hate you so much sometimes.
No, you don't.
I do sometimes.
Well, that's why we're married.
So
all
Colleen
married
Stan,
couples hate each other.
Colleen Stan, well, Cameron and Janice Hooker did.
That's true, because they kept a woman underneath their bed in a box for 7 years.
For about 7 years. And they mostly kept her there because they, like, I don't want to say conditioned her. They made her believe that there was a company that would hunt and kill her and her family and anyone she'd like basically ever met if she tried to escape or got out or escaped. And then one day, Janice had a come to Jesus moment and was like, "Hey, none of this is real. Sorry." So that's what happened. And then the Elizabeth Smart case. Elizabeth Smart was kidnapped from her bedroom by Brian Mitchell and was brought to like a weird campsite with Wanda Barzee, and they kept her for 7 months? 7 months. Yes, 7 months.
Is this, do you need validation?
No, I think it was 7 months.
Do you want
me to
Google?
No, I think it was 7 months. And they kept her for 7 months.
Hey, Dan, when you listen to this, text us and tell us if we messed it up, since you listened to the last one.
Since you actually listened to the podcast, but those were smart. But yeah, so she was kept, and then she was pretty much kept away from society, and whenever she was brought into society, she was forced to, like, wear a disguise, mm-hmm. which was basically, like, some religious bullshit that Brian Mitchell made up, because he's an asshole, and I hate him so much. And she, even when she was confronted by police, she didn't give up her identity for 45 minutes, because she was, like, afraid of Brian Mitchell's retaliation.
Hey, Brian. You're an asshole.
You're an asshole, Brian Mitchell, and I really fucking hate you, and I don't know why. You just make my blood boil. But anyway, so those are the two pieces.
This is, like, and he's not the creepiest person we've ever discussed.
No, he's not even, like, he's not the worst. He's not the most, he's not that interesting to me. I think that's why I hate him. And also, I think people who, like, do, like, the religious mumbo-jumbo shit, like, really piss me off for some reason, and I'm not sure why.
Because you're an atheist?
No, but, like, I don't, like, other people can have religion. Like, I don't really care. It's when you, like, manipulate religion in such a way.
Oh, yeah. And also, no longer the religion.
The way Elizabeth Smart talked about him, she was like, he just never shut up. But I think that would piss me off so much.
But we live together.
I know.
All right, so I see open on your laptop the dictionary definition of Stockholm Syndrome. Why don't you hit us with that?
So the definition of Stockholm Syndrome is the psychological tendency of a hostage to bond with, identify with, or sympathize with his or her captor. Why not just say their captor? With their captor.
Because it's probably an older dictionary.
The Merriam-Webster dictionary online. So yeah, so that is Stockholm Syndrome.
Not when you live in Stockholm, Sweden, and fall in love and want to go back every day for the rest of your life, which Elizabeth and I both suffer from.
That is true. I miss it very much. Hi, Frida. So I thought, since I'm lazy and my arm hurts and I'm, like, slowly declining into an abyss.
Oh, yeah, I guess we missed that. Elizabeth got her booster today.
Oh, yeah, I got my booster shot, and it sucks.
I'm pretty sure that I've got a scotch of food poisoning and vomited at work today, so
Where did you get the word scotch from? You've used it a couple times today, and I don't think I've ever heard you use it before.
I don't know, my mom says it sometimes. It's right, just like a small...
No, I understand. Like I don't need a definition. I just, like, I've never heard you said it before today.
I totally believe I've said it before.
Not that I ever recall in my memory, because I think it's a weird word.
And now that I'm going to say it, like, once every 3.7 days, just to, like, keep you on your toes. Yeah. Like, I'm not going to say it for a while, and then I'll just be like, oh, can you just pass me a scotch of salt, or...
We don't use a scotch of salt in this house.
Or, do you want a scotch of hot sauce on your fried rice?
Mm, that's fair. So, anyway, I'm going to read you the... Yeah, because I got my booster, and Marissa's a little sick, and,
Woo!
My arm hurts so much.
And I can't keep food down.
You kept food down.
I kept dinner down. I'm still a little nauseous, but, like, it's...
That's okay.
It's staying,
you kept
so.
Dinner down. So, on the morning of August 23rd... Oh, I'm just gonna read you a History.com article.
Oh, yeah, do that.
And we're gonna talk about it. It's by Christopher Klein. Thanks, Christopher Klein, for doing my work for me.
I'm not bleeding anymore. Can I put the blanket back on my leg?
No, go get a Band-Aid and go throw the bloody tissue out. And I'm making you do it now because I'm annoyed at you. Stop picking your bloody scrow scabs. Nope, there are Band-Aids in the cabinet. And go wash your hands.
You suck so much.
This is basic hygiene.
Why do you keep reading the article while I do this?
This is basic hygiene. You missed the cabinet with the Band-Aids. Oh, you're washing your hands. That's allowed.
Why do you read your fucking article?
I'm going to get slapped. So on the morning of August 23rd, 1973, an escaped convict crossed the streets of Sweden's capital city, Stockholm, and entered a building bank. I'm so sorry, Frida. The Sveriges Kreditbanken.
Let me see.
Oh, because you're going to do better. Go get a Band-Aid.
Let me see.
Go get a Band-Aid, you freaking weirdo.
So it's like how you say Swedish in Swedish. Svegre?
Okay, that's not right.
Kreditbanken.
That didn't work.
I know, it didn't.
The person just... Like I said, I'm slow... Go get a Band-Aid!
I'm gonna fill up my water bottle while I do! This is a descent into madness.
I'm slowly descending into an abyss.
I think we should call this episode title The Shared Descent into Madness.
The Shared Descent.
And Stockholm Syndrome.
Also, with a side of Stockholm Syndrome.
Yeah. With a side of Stockholm Syndrome should be the title.
Oh my god. Alright, I'm so sorry, guys. Like I said, I got my booster today and I'm just slowly descending into madness.
We know!
Alright, so, the Sveriges Kreditbanken on Stockholm's upscale... Fuck me. Norrmalmstorg... It says that in the article!
It says fuck me?
It says fuck me. Upscale, Norrmalmstorg Square.
That's the
one with the
palace.
No, it's not. Is
it? Norrmalmstorg Square.
I don't think it is. All right, now I'm going to Google this. But
I'm 99.9%
I'm pretty sure.
That
it's
in the same neighborhood.
Okay, I don't think it's on Gauntlestown, so I don't think that's true. I'm pretty sure it's like. Wait. Ah. Oh, it's next to the library. Of. Oh, it's by Kunstgarten. Oh, no, it's in a different. We were both wrong. Anyway.
Where is it?
It's. Town Square, Central Stockholm, Sweden. It connects shopping streets, Hamnington, and Bibliotekgarden, and is the starting point of the travelers from the... Whoa, that's a certain line. Yeah, I'm pulling up a map.
Pull up a map, because I'm pretty sure... Oh, I forgot the Band-Aid. No, there it is. I'm pretty sure I used to walk down that street.
Yeah, it's...
Oh, it's right by the TGI Fridays.
Yeah, it's by, it's by the TGI Fridays. It's by Kunstgarten, so you're like, this is where all your trees were that you liked.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So I used to literally cross that street.
Yeah, so it's...
Every day, going to work.
It's not where the palace is. That's at Gauntlestown.
Yeah, no, but if you cross over, yeah.
If you walk between the palace and that place, it's there.
Got it. Okay.
I just broke Marissa's brain.
I know exactly where we're talking about now.
If you walk between where it is and where you thought it was, it's in that area.
Yeah, it's like, it's almost I'm where making, the ice skating
honey,
rink was.
I'm making
was.
Fun of you. Fuck it's you. Exactly where the ice skating rink was. I'm making fun of you.
It's exactly where the ice skating rink was.
It's exactly where, if you walk between Fuck the two me. Places,
go,
it is.
Go to hell in a handbasket. I'm going to rip open my scab again and bleed all over your bed.
But you already did. From underneath the folded jacket. So now we're back to this bank in 73.
Oh, Jacob, great.
He carried in his arms Jan Erik Olsen. Olsen? Yes. Pulled a loaded submachine gun, fired at the ceiling, disguised his voice to sound like an American, and cried out in English, "The party has just begun." Which almost everyone in Sweden speaks English, so that's not really, like, good for you. Stop reading it. I'm reading it too. After wounding a policeman...
I'm sorry. I'm so used to you needing me to... give you validation on words that you can't read or dyslexia.
Because you can pronounce them.
Well, dyslexia.
Because you can pronounce them.
I can pronounce your mom.
It's a really complicated phrase you just said.
Thank you.
After wounding a policeman who had been responding to a silent alarm, the robber took four bank employees hostage. Olsen, a safecracker who failed to return to prison after a four-low.
Olafson.
It's Olsen.
Oh, the release of Clark Olafson. Yeah.
Stop reading.
Don't make the font bigger, then.
I have to, because I'm just like, stop reading. You're fucking me up more. Stop being yourself. Olsen, a safecracker who failed to return to prison after a furlough from his three-year sentence from grand larceny, demanded more than 700,000 in Swedish and foreign currency, a getaway car, and the release of Clark Olofsson. Good job.
Son of Olof.
Who was serving time for armed robbery and acting as an accessory in the 1966 murder of a police officer. Within hours, the police delivered Olofsson's fellow convict the ransom and a blue Ford Mustang with a tank full of gas. However, authorities refused the robbers' demands to leave with the hostages in tow to ensure safe passage. The crazy part, too, is that, this is a sidebar,
this whole episode is a sidebar.
That's weird. They aired the entire... thing on the media.
Nice.
Because I read a different article from The Time about this before I, like, picked this one. And they, like, aired everything on live TV the entire time. Which a lot of people speculate if that was, like, a good idea or not. And if that actually, like, made the situation more intense. Well, and it really changed some stuff later on.
We'll never know.
The unfilling drama captured headlines around the world and played out on television screens across Sweden. Oh, just kidding. What else is in this one? The public flooded police headquarters with suggestions for ending the standoff that ranged from a concert of religious tunes by a Salvation Army band to sending a swarm of angry bees to sing the perpetrators into submission.
Damn, imagine you're, like, about to pull off the greatest heist you've ever seen, and all of a sudden just, like, a horde of hornets come in and attack
bees?
You.
Bees? Anyone else play Cards Against Humanity?
Bees?
Holed up under a crammed bank vault, the captives quickly forged a strange bond with their abductors. Olsen dropped a wool jacket over the shoulders of hostage Christian and Mark when she began to shiver, soothed her when she had a bad dream, and gave her a bullet from his gun as a keepsake. She was also 23 at the time. The gunman consoled captive Birgitta Lundblad when she couldn't reach her family by phone and told her to try again. Don't give up. When hostage Elizabeth Oldgren complained of claustrophobia, he allowed her to walk outside the vault attached to a 30-foot rope. And Oldgren told the New York a year later that although leashed, I remember thinking he was very kind to allow me to leave the vault. Olson's benevolent acts carried the sympathies of his hostage. When he treated us well, said lone male hostage Sven Safstorm, we could think of him as an emergency god.
An emergency god.
That's an interesting one. On the second day, the hostages were on first name basis with their captors, and they started to fear the police more than their abductors. When the police commissioners were allowed inside to inspect the hostages' health, he noticed that the captives appeared hostile to him, but relaxed with and jovial with the gunmen. The police chief told the press that he doubted the gunmen would harm the hostages because they developed a rather relaxed relationship. Ernmark even phoned Swedish Prime Minister Olof Palme. Prime Minister, already preoccupied with looming national elections and a deathbed vigil for the country's revered 90-year-old King Gustav VI Adolf, and pleaded with him to let the robbers take her with them as in the escape fire. I fully trust Clark and the robber, she asserted Palm. I'm not desperate. They haven't done a thing to us. On the contrary, they've been very nice. But you know, Olaf, that I'm scared of it if the police will attack and cause us to die. Even when threatened with physical harm, the hostages still saw compassion in their abductors. After Olson threatened to shoot the male captor, or captive, in the leg to shake up the police, the hostage recounted to the New Yorker how kind I thought he was by saying it was just my leg he would shoot. Eric tried to convince her fellow hostages to take the bullet, but Sven, it's just in the leg. So even when the hostages tried to convince them that it's okay,
it's just a gunshot in the leg.
Jesus.
Right? I don't know any of this. Ultimately, the convicts did not physically harm... The convicts did not physical harm to the hostages. Did no physical harm to the hostages. Okay, don't read. I know, I'm dyslexic.
I'm sitting here being a perfect listener, and you're just harassing me for no reason.
Can the audience hear me rolling my eyes?
They can hear you harassing me.
Ultimately, the convicts did no physical harm to the hostages, and on the night of August 28th, after more than 130 hours, the police pumped tear gas into the vault and the perpetrators quickly surrendered. The police called for the hostages to come out first, but the four captives protected their abductors to the very end and refused. And Margaret yelled, "No, Jan and Clark, go first. You'll gun them down if we do." In the doorway of the vault, the convicts and the hostages embraced, kissed, and shook hands. As the police seized the gunmen, two female hostages cried, "Don't hurt them, they didn't harm us." When Enmark was wheeled away in a stretcher, she shouted to the handcuffed Olofsson, "Clark, I will see you again." The hostages' seemingly irrational attachment to their captors perplexed the public and the police, who even investigated whether Enmark had plotted the robbery with Olofsson. The captives were confused, too. The day following her release, Oligden asked a psychiatrist, "Is there something wrong with me? Why don't I hate them?" Psychiatrists compared the behavior to the wartime shell shock exhibited by soldiers and explained that the hostages became emotionally indebted to their abductors and not the police for being spared death. Within months of the siege, psychiatrists dubbed the strange phenomenon Stockholm Syndrome, which became part of the popular lexicon in 1974, when it was used as a defense in the kidnapped newspaper heiress Patty Hearst, who assisted her radical Symbionese Liberation Army captors in a series of bank robberies. Even after Olofsson and Olson returned to prison, the hostages made jailhouse visits to their former captors. An appeals court overturned Olofsson's conviction, but Olson spent years behind bars before being released in 1980. Once freed, he married one of the many women who sent him admiring letters while incarcerated, and moved to Thailand in 2009. And he even released his autobiography entitled Stockholm Syndrome.
Oh, of course.
That's hilarious. So that's the story behind Stockholm Syndrome. I knew vaguely what had happened, but I didn't
Yeah, I knew the bit about the captives refusing to come out first. Like, that's something that I was like, oh, yeah, I remember. I don't remember it clearly, but I remember reading about it. Mm.
I didn't know that Olsen or Olafson was like, hey, let's shoot Sven in the leg.
And they were all like, yeah, do it.
And Sven was like, oh, that's nice of him to only shoot me in the leg. And all the other, and even Enmark, who seemed to be the most, like,
calm.
Like, bewitched by them, was like, oh, come on, it's just in the leg.
Yeah.
I'd, like, try to convince him.
I don't know. It makes me think of, like, imagine if Stockholm Syndrome was found in, like, or was coined in, I don't know, what's the silliest named city that you can think of?
I don't even think it was coined in, I don't think it was a Swedish psychologist or psychiatrist. I think it was coined somewhere else, but since it happened in Stockholm.
I know, but, like, what if it, if that event happened in bumfuck nowhere, Kentucky, and then we would have
intercourse Pennsylvania.
And then we'd have intercourse syndrome.
Now that'd be hilarious.
Oh my god, so much of our lives. We really live in a simulation, everybody.
It's fine. So, I also pulled up a WebMD.
Oh, you did?
I did. So, what is Stockholm Syndrome?
Your mom.
What?
I don't know why. That's just been my response to everything lately.
That's about as much as you can handle.
That and hell yeah, brother.
Oh my gosh.
Which, if Eric ever listens to this.
The first time you said that, I kind of looked at you like, what the fuck? Where did that come from?
I was like, oh, Eric.
And it's like, oh, that makes sense. So Stockholm Syndrome is an emotional response. It happens to some abuse and hostage victims when they have positive feelings toward an abuser or captor. And I think positive feelings is a really interesting.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if it's positive feelings. I think it's, I wouldn't phrase it like that. I don't know how I'd phrase it, but not
I
like that.
I think it's positive in, like, the positive-negative relationship when it comes to symptoms of, like, schizophrenia. Where you can have positive symptoms or you can have negative symptoms. So negative symptoms are things like lack of emotion, withdrawal.
Catatonic,
things like that. Positive symptoms are things that are being added to whatever baseline personality there is. You and I both know this. So I'm curious if they mean, like,
I can't imagine, that doesn't make any sense. How does that make sense?
Because it's the addition of a very strong emotion that wasn't present previous to the.
So would that, what if it was the, what if they hated yeah, the
I
person?
Just, I came to that loop in my mind too. I don't
Good
know.
Job.
What would you say instead of positive?
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. Like, I think it's, it's not positive feelings, but it's not,
it's fabricated positive feelings.
Yeah.
Don't give me that look. This is, we are getting, this is my, I wore Crocs to work today.
Guys, she came home and she came and sat on my bed and her feet smelled so fucking
bad. Thank you for putting that.
Oh my god. I was like, what died? What died?
My Crocs. I'm sorry that had to sacrifice 20 animals today and remove their brains from their skulls and get splattered with blood. And then two, had to change a bunch of bedding, and that I work a very physical job.
I know.
Makes me sad.
We don't have to climb in Elizabeth's bed first thing with vomit on our t-shirt.
All right. You know,
Elizabeth's not wrong.
I was having a bad day, and all I wanted to do was come in and cuddle my loving roommate and wife, and
you only told me after we cuddled there's vomit on your shirt.
Yeah.
That's good.
You say that like you never... I vomited this morning in front of you.
That is true.
Well, you handed me two Tylenol, and I was like, nope, gonna vomit. And you were like, oh, so you just threw up the Tylenol I gave you? And I was like, no, I knew I was gonna vomit, so I didn't take them.
Do you want a gold star?
Yes, I do. I've vomited three times.
You had a bad day today.
In like 12 hours. I've not done that since I had food poisoning. Which is why I think I have a scotch of food poisoning.
A scotch? Oh, wow.
The fucking bikers agree.
Don't even fucking get me started. So, Stockholm Syndrome isn't a psychological diagnosis. Instead, it's a way of understanding the emotional response some people have towards captors or abusers.
Emotional response, I think, is...
I like emotional response better than a positive feelings.
But also, the emotional response can still... Same issue that I ran into, it can still be, like, what do you call it if it's a negative feeling? Like, that's an emotional response.
That's true.
Well, still, we'll keep...
positive, you know what I mean?
We'll keep thinking about it, and we'll get back to you guys on this. Merriam-Webster will need some help.
This isn't Merriam-Webster.
I know, it's WebMD.
Okay.
But we're not fake doctors.
I don't know what you mean.
Because whenever you're sick, it's a joke to go on whenever somebody's sick and they Google something and WebMD's like, you're pregnant!
You're doing great at jokes today, sweetie.
You have cancer!
Sometimes people who are held prisoner or are subjected to abuse can feel feelings of sympathy or other positive feelings towards their captor. This seems to happen over days, weeks, months, or years. The timeline's interesting of the Stockholm Syndrome.
Yeah.
The bank robbery, because it was only 4 days. I don't want to say only, but it was four days.
Yeah, but it was 4 days in an enclosed space where they were the only...
Which is, like, I mean, that is how, especially Colleen Stan kind of was indoctrinated into the hooker's life because they were her only source of people. And I guess the same thing happened with Elizabeth Smart because she only interacted with those two people. I mean...
Though, I have to be frank, I don't personally think that either Colleen Stan or Elizabeth Smart demonstrated in the way that we discussed those cases, it is not evident to me that either of them had Stockholm Syndrome.
Oh, I think Colleen Stan definitely did.
I don't know. I really don't.
Oh, I 100% think she did. Because she told Cameron she loved him and, like, she didn't want to turn him into police after she was, like, after she went home because she, like, wanted to give him a second chance and she called him before she left.
And some of that, to me, is almost fear-based, though.
It wasn't fear-based. It was just she wanted to be done. But I think part of her, like, really cared about him in a weird way.
I guess to me, a lot of those actions sound fear-based, and like, if I make him think that I love him, he won't harass me or come after me.
Part of it was that, yes, like, she would say I love you because the abuse would wane a little bit.
Yeah.
But she also did express that, like, there was this weird connection between them, and she did kind of, like, enjoy their time together.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess, in that case, yes, but I don't think Elizabeth Smart demonstrated any...
I don't know either, because a lot of people point to her, like, even one of the articles I've read, like, the Times article I read was like, oh, this Stockholm Syndrome's used to explain, like, Patty Hearst, which is, like, a super famous example.
Yeah.
I kind of know that story a little bit. What?
Where's the Patty? Okay, this might be, like, a lucid dream, but I could have sworn...
You're not landing like a any joke. Jokes today.
It's not a joke. It was Wendy's, I think, or some, like, Arby's? Fast food burger chain.
Does Where's the Beef? Yeah, Arby's does.
Right, but when Patty Hearst disappeared, there was a burger chain, a fast food burger chain, that took all the patties out of their hamburgers to spread awareness for Patty Hearst's disappearance.
Wait, shut the fuck up, really?
I might be completely and totally
lying
to you.
You must be making that up. There's no way that's true. Because what are they going to sell them?
It was patty butter.
Wait, that's so strange. I've never heard that before.
Hello, guest star at Patty Hearst. I want to say it was Wendy's.
I've never heard that before.
Where they would take
before.
The beef patty out.
And get what? Give it to you separately? Scarlett is slowly trying to weasel her way into sitting on Marissa's lap.
Hi, cat. Wendy's.
Who's such a cat?
Doesn't serve hamburger Patty Hearst.
I'm just gonna go Wendy's and Patty Hearst. Make it super long and really specific so nothing comes up.
That actually.
Is that exactly what happened?
Too long. Wendy's hamburger Patty Hearst. I'm also getting like all these suggestions like Wendy's hamburger uses horse meat.
I could have gone my whole life without knowing that. I've been happy. All right, well, you Google that. I'll keep reading. So the bond can grow between a victim and the captor. This can lead to a kind of treatment and less harm from the abuser, as they might also create a positive bond with their victims. So I kind of think that's what happened with Cameron Hooker.
I guess.
That's definitely not what happened with Brian Mitchell. Well, I mean, yeah, I don't think it did, because Elizabeth Smart, like, when they returned to Salt Lake City, Elizabeth Smart told him, like, purposely manipulated him to get them to go back to Salt Lake. So I don't really think she ever had any positive feelings.
This is insane, because I can't.
Did you have the weirdest?
I had, like, the weirdest fucking lucid dream then.
About Patty Hearst and Wendy's taking out their
bed. I'm thinking it's like the like a campaign for when Patty Hearst was missing.
Is there a gas leak in here? Are we okay?
Dude, I have food poisoning. I'm dead inside.
Oh my gosh, you totally just made that up.
Because I'm like looking up different chains now too, and it's still not popping up with anything. So.
Wait, that's too funny.
I feel like I heard it on, like, a podcast or, like, on a sitcom or something.
Did you listen to, like, Last Podcast on the Left would have covered it? I don't even know what podcast you would have listened to that would have covered it.
And that's why we drink, maybe?
Maybe? Oh, yeah, maybe that did.
But years ago, yeah. Before I listened to either of those podcasts, but,
and
like,
then maybe you had a dream about it?
I don't know. I just, or it was in a, I don't know. Moral of the story, Marissa doesn't do well with comedy when she's got food poisoning.
Marissa doesn't do well when she's hungover.
Oh, God, I'm not even hungover anymore.
So, someone who has Stockholm Syndrome might have confusing feelings towards their abuser, including love, sympathy, empathy, and a desire to protect them.
I thought that said disappointment.
Where?
Desire to protect.
Oh, who's dyslexic now? No, I'm just kidding.
I'm also 3 feet away from the computer.
That's fair. Yo, I was trying to, well, I was, like, in a meeting yesterday, and I could not see the stupid screen. I need to get my eyes checked.
I have an eye doctor down the road.
You know, I need to, like,
I need to get my glasses fixed. I'm actually wearing my blue light glasses, because my other glasses are bent.
I thought you were just wearing them because you forgot that they were on your face again.
No.
Marissa has come home from work a couple times and been like, fuck, I'm still wearing these glasses. And I'm like, they're glasses.
And they're, like, not even, like, that intensely blue light protected, so I can wear them like normal glasses, but my old ones are bent, and apparently the company that I bought them from, they're, like, we'll give you 50% if it's, but we won't replace them, and I'm just like, I'm just gonna fix it myself. We are never, ever, ever.
So, thank you.
You're welcome.
Despite being held against the will in a life-threatening situation, these individuals made positive relationships with their captors. They even helped pay for their lawyers after they were caught. That's actually specifically talking about the,
Patty Hearst and the missing hamburger bun?
No, actually, the case in Stockholm.
Oh, nice.
Patty Hearst and the missing... Now we have to cover that case.
Yeah, now we kind of have to, right?
Yeah. Maybe I'll make you cover it.
Oh, great.
And talk about the missing hamburger bun scene, Dorita.
Yeah.
So why do you get Stockholm Syndrome? So not all people who are in situations experience Stockholm Syndrome. It's not entirely clear why some people react this way, but it's thought to be a survival mechanism. A person might create these bonds as a way to cope with the extreme and terrifying situations. So some key pieces seen in cases like Stockholm, like, and my gosh, Elizabeth, slow down. Some key pieces seen to increase the likelihood of Stockholm Syndrome include, so, being in an emotionally charged situation for a long period of time.
No!
Which I feel like being held hostage, like, is an emotionally charged situation for a long period of time.
Oh my god.
What?
New Girl. Title of your sex tape.
What?
No, it's not. What show is that?
Did you just break a little?
I did. A little bit.
It was How I Met Your Mother.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
Oh my god.
Are you okay?
No, I'm broken inside and outside.
My arm hurts so much.
Is your arm hurt? Being in an emotionally charged situation for a long time. Title of your sex tape.
No. What?
I don't know. Just the way that you said it made me, like, think of the candidates of, like, how that joke.
Oh my gosh.
What is this episode? It really is a descent into madness.
This is a descent into madness. Stockholm Syndrome.
I don't even... How long have we been recording?
I don't know. We should probably take a break.
Why don't you finish this definition, and then we'll get back and we'll discuss Colleen Stan and Elizabeth Smart for a little bit, and then we'll go to bed.
We're gonna go to bed, except we have company coming over.
Right, but we can nap for 2 hours till they get here.
I might do that.
All right. So, we'll see you soon.
Oh, no, I was going to finish the definition.
All right.
All right. Okay. Remember what you just said?
Yeah.
What is this episode? All right, so another thing that might increase the likelihood of Stockholm Syndrome is being in a shared space with the hostage taker with poor conditions, so, like, not enough food, a physically uncomfortable space. Another reason is when hostages are dependent on a hostage taker for basic needs.
Don't those go together? Being in a place that's uncomfortable or, like, doesn't have basic needs and then being dependent on the hostage taker.
Well, so I think, like...
I feel like that would be two sides of the same coin.
I mean, yes, like, in the case with, like, Elizabeth Smart...
Yeah.
She relied completely on Brian Mitchell to get her food, but food was also scarce because they were homeless and he was an asshole guy who would go preach and beg for money because he was an asshole. So, like, I think that's the same, except on the flip side of that coin... They're, like, with Colleen Stan, it wasn't that, like, the shared space with the hostage taker, with the hostage, was, like, Cameron wasn't hurting for food or wasn't uncomfortable. He did that to her as a way to break her.
Yeah.
So I think that's the difference. So there's also, it's likelihood when threats to life are not carried out, so, like, mock executions, which is actually what Cameron did, too. Because then you feel bad, like, then you're like, oh, they didn't kill me.
Yeah.
That relief kind of gets assigned to them. And then when the hostages haven't been dehumanized, which I think is a really interesting point.
Yeah, that'd be really important.
Yeah, because I guess, especially with the case in the bank, they were treated like people. Like, when the girl was cold, he gave her a jacket. But that was not the case for Colleen Stan and Elizabeth Smart. But once Cameron did start treating...
Colleen Stan. And let her go for, like, runs and take the kids out.
Yeah. When she did have more rights and freedom, she did start to, like, actually really care for him and the family.
Yeah.
So, but we'll talk more about that after the break.
After the break.
But I want to keep the cat. Some of my cat.
That can't somehow.
Well, I'm not going to keep the cat. That's why, can we clone the cat?
You can adopt a cat of your own.
No, nothing's going to be as good as Scarlet. My mom is Oh, we're back, by the way. My mom...
Oh, God. I'm sitting here playing Candy Crush.
I know. I just love this cat so much, and my mom is constantly being like, I can't believe how much you like this cat, and I can't believe how much this cat likes you, and I'm like, I know. I love it.
She's, like, curled up on my lap right now. So I've had Scarlet since I was 10. So Scarlet's been with me through my dad having cancer, breaking the majority of my bones... Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of big moments. This cat and I are very trauma bonded.
Yes.
I was talking to my parents about Thanksgiving mm-hmm. and how my grandma's worried that I'm going to leave her alone in the apartment for too long over Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to my parents about it. I was like, yeah, so, I mean, it'll be like 2-3 days. I think she'll be okay, but I'm going to ask one of my coworkers to stop over and check on her. And my dad went, she lived in my dresser for 5 days and she was totally fine. And then I explained to them that she hid underneath my bed in one of the first weeks that we lived here. And I got so... I didn't know it was possible to be, like, actually pissed at a cat like you could be at a person. But I was so pissed off.
Oh, my God. It was hilarious to watch. Like, she was so mad. And she knew she hid the rest of the night.
She knew.
And but... I, like, came and found her. And I was like, it's okay, baby. Your mommy's just mad because she was here and you were going to get hurt.
But so this cat and I have been trauma bonded through a lot of stuff, but she always knows when I'm sick. And so she'll always, like, be like a little heating pad on my abdomen or, like, just come sit with me.
Normally when Marissa comes home, she goes upstairs and takes a bath. And normally in that time, Scarlet hangs out with me because the human that's going to give her attention. But, like, today she was not around me as much. She was, I think, up with you.
Yeah, she was up with me. She's been with me basically the entire time that I've been home. She always sleeps with me, but
oh, I love you so much.
The couple of times that I've been able to sit down since I've been home, she's been, like, on my lap, and sometimes when I take a bath, she'll, like, come sit at the edge of the tub, which is really
little bear. But anyway, so now we're going back to a much less fun topic than how much I fucking love this cat. we're going to talk more about Stockholm Syndrome. So, I want to return to...
Do you think Scarlett has Stockholm Syndrome?
I don't think we're her captors.
No. You've captivated us.
I think we, but for Scarlett.
Yeah.
She's like, and I'd do it again. Bop, bop, bop.
Ditch a baby. Ditch a baby.
So do you think, why, I don't, okay, so what we just read, I'm trying to formulate words. sidebar, we read over at Marissa's boyfriend's place for dinner.
Sidebar, we haven't even started talking about the topic.
I know, yet. Yeah, I know, but woo! This is why it's a descent into madness with a side of Stockholm Syndrome. No, but we went over to Marissa's boyfriend's house for dinner, and some of his friends were asking me how my day was, and I was like, words are hard. Just like, I said a lot of words today, and now words have no meaning. Are you okay? And I was like, no.
No.
I'm not. I had too much words. too much words. But anyway, so Stockholm Syndrome. So, what the list that I just read off, like, what are the, like, more likely chances of you having Stockholm Syndrome for your captor? Elizabeth Smart almost had every single one of those, except she was dehumanized, but, like, it was an emotionally charged situation. You're fucking captive. It was an emotionally charged situation. She had a shared space with her hostage, like, with What's-His-Face 1 and What's-Her-Face 2, and they did...
Brian and whatever her face
Wanda.
Is.
Wanda. Get the ugliest fucking mug I've ever seen. And they did have poor conditions. They were homeless. They lived in a tent. Like, they had to, like, travel when it was winter. They didn't have access to food regularly. And she also was held in, like, an uncomfortable place. And the hostage person did have to meet her basic needs. And he did threaten to kill her and never followed through on it. So, like, all except for not being dehumanized, I don't understand how she didn't get Stockholm Syndrome.
So, I read the... threatened to kill bit a little differently than you did, of
more like immediate,
I think more you're right. Of a like, I'm gonna pull the trigger and have the gun to your hand and then like shoot a blank or something, like, well, at blanks so that range can kill you, but have an empty chamber,
yeah,
and be like, this is your come to God moment. You come to God, but what you have to realize is that I'm your God now.
Yeah.
And that I control everything. Mm-hmm. And so I am actively deciding not to kill you right now. But I'm going to show you that I can.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm actively deciding not to kill you right now. It's mm-hmm. not threatening to kill her and then just raping her or things like that. So that's how I took that.
No, I think you're right. Because it says, as the example is, it says mock executions. Which, because what jumped to my head immediately was Cameron Hooker. Had before Colleen was allowed to visit her family, he did that to her. He like instructed her to put the gun in her mouth and pull the trigger, and she did, and she didn't know it was unloaded.
See, what I was thinking about for the Colleen Stan was the hole in the backyard, and making her like stand out in the hole in the backyard until he eventually came and got her.
It wasn't just like a hole; like it was a whole like
dungeon.
Yeah, it was just like a structure that he like wanted her to stay in. But it flooded because it wasn't well constructed.
Yeah. But she was still out there until he came and got her.
Well, I think it was locked. Like, I don't think she physically could leave. Yeah.
But I think it's a lot of that, like, come to Jesus moment, but also realize that God isn't real and that I am. Get a little schmutz on your nose.
Oh. Well, so Elizabeth Smart did. She almost died. She almost died of dehydration.
Yeah.
And then it started to rain. But I think the difference is that it wasn't because Brian Mitchell showed up with a glass of water. It was because it started to rain and she didn't die because of circumstances.
He was not the reason that she lived.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's the difference.
I think that's the difference.
I hope that's picked up. Because
I really do.
Whenever it's fine now. When it's 1 a.m., please stop.
And it's weird because I get absolutely none of that noise, but I get a lot. I get stuff from upstairs that don't
I
get.
Too. Oh, no, I get.
You get a lot of it, too.
Oh, I get a lot of it, too. Don't worry.
In a city.
If that wasn't picked up, there's,
people who like ride like RVs or like
they're cool looking, like they're cool looking, but they're really fucking loud and they're motorbikes.
They're crotch rockets. It's
And they often blast music, and it's so loud. And it's fine when it's,
and they rev their engine.
Yeah, and it's fine when it's, like, now. But at, like, 1 or 2 a.m., you're in a residential area.
Yeah, we live in a very residential area.
So, like, shut the fuck up.
So stop.
Please go there.
But, man, what a descent into madness with a side of Stockholm Syndrome.
Oh, my God.
So, I see your point about Colleen Stan, and I think I can get on board with the fact that Colleen Stan had some form of Stockholm Syndrome.
Oh, I think she's, I just don't see it. Yeah. Syndrome.
I don't see it for Elizabeth Smart, and I feel like the number one argument that people would give is that when she was questioned by the cops, she didn't turn herself in.
Yeah.
But I genuinely think that that was fear-based.
I do, too. Because she's one of the people that, like, is listed with, like, textbook cases of Stockholm Syndrome, Elizabeth Smart. I don't think she did.
No, I can't think of one instance in the history that we discussed.
In the history of forever?
In all of time and space.
Through all of time and space?
Through all of time and space. I can't think of one example from her case that we discussed that would, like, scream to me classic Stockholm Syndrome. And she's described as a classic Stockholm Syndrome victim, and that's just not true.
Because I looked up, because when I, after I did Colleen Stan's case, I was like, oh, I should find, like, another, like, Stockholm Syndrome case, and let's talk about it, because I think that'd be kind of, like, that'd be fun. Elizabeth Smart came up.
Is this fun for you?
And me talking to you is always fun, Marissa.
No!
I'm being throttled. No, but, like, I don't think she did, though, because the more I got into this, the more I was like, but there's no, like, when she didn't give up her name to police, it was because she was worried of what Mitchell and Wanda Barzee would do to her. She was worried that they'd be taken into police custody, and that they'd be released. It wasn't the worry that they'd be taken into police custody.
Yeah, it was that they'd be released and they'd come after her or her family.
Or her family, because they knew where she lived. They'd broken into her house, or he had.
Yeah. Her sister was there.
Yeah, like, he could have easily killed her sister. Like, she had a very real fear of what they would do. And so I don't, which, like, Colleen did as well. It's not that. It's that it wasn't ever those, for lack of a better term, positive feelings.
Yeah. There's really got to be a better phrase for that. And I don't want to say, like, imagined feelings, because they're not imagined. They're very real, clearly.
It's not manipulative. But those... It's not manipulated feelings.
Those... God, constructed feelings?
I don't know. Because it definitely... Survival feelings? Because this is definitely a survival technique. There's enough cognitive dissonance that you have to kind of...
Yeah.
Make it work in your brain. I would assume that root of Stockholm Syndrome has to do with cognitive dissonance, at least.
I wonder if there are some people who are neurologically, if put in a situation like Colleen Stan or Elizabeth Smart, neurologically are more inclined to Stockholm Syndrome or learned they helplessness. Must be. Yeah, I don't know.
I wouldn't say learned helplessness. I think that's different. But
I think it is, too, but I think it falls in the same vein, and I'm curious, because you can't really test.
No.
Right? You can't test learned helplessness.
Learned helplessness...
is when you learn to be helpless.
Yes, but that was done in an experiment where I think he actually still works at Penn. I think I almost worked... I applied for a job with him, actually, until I realized who it was.
Oh,
he's a behavioral scientist or a psychologist, and he did a test where he would put dogs in cages and then shock their feet, and... they, like, couldn't get out, and they, like, didn't know what to do. And so eventually they just, like, learned to accept it. And so even when, like...
The door was open,
or, like, they could actually get out if they, like, tried a little bit, they just stood there.
Yeah.
Which is horrible.
It makes me think of this absolute horrible, and I'm laughing through the pain of being an animal researcher... but this really horrible test that rats sometimes go through for cognition and memory,
mm-hmm.
called the Morris water test.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure I've told you this before, but essentially you take a platform, you put it in water, you submerge it so that it's underneath the water, but the animal can stand on it, and then you drop a rat into the tank.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have to swim around and find the quadrant.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the ways that you test it is that you move the quadrant, or you move the platform to different quadrants, you see how many times the animal swims where it used to be, how much it's willing to explore, and then you can remove the platform entirely.
Oh, gosh.
And the animal just swims and swims until it just gives up, mm-hmm. and then it just lets itself drown.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awful.
It's awful. But that's that way you can see the thought pattern of, like, where it goes and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, and be like, well, that's the end of me. Bye. Does it give up from exhaustion or just is like, well, that's the end of me?
It depends. Depends on the situation.
Weird. Oh, that's creepy. I don't know why you don't like that.
Yeah, we work in two different, very different areas of science.
I send emails. I send emails to people and screen participants.
I send emails to people, but they're usually about, like, $50,000 pieces of equipment that I'll, like...
No, I'm like, hey, do you want to be on our study? It's cool. It's kind of my job.
And I clean frozen brain tissue out of cardboard boxes.
And I call people, being like, hey, do you want to be on our study? It's cool.
I use a mini guillotine to cut rats' heads off, and then I extract their brains
after shooting. Hey, do you want to be in our study? It's really cool.
I take ketamine that we have to keep under lock and key. And I stick it into muscles.
Yeah, I schedule meetings.
I run paraformaldehyde through veins to make the muscles fix, and then they dance.
Yeah, I build databases.
I like my job so much. I like my job, too. It's very funny, because I'll come home from work, and you'll be like, how was your day today? It's like, oh, it was really productive. I killed these animals in the safest way possible.
And I was like, oh, I didn't do that. Sent some emails.
I started the dishwasher.
Sent some emails.
Cuddled the cat.
Reviewed some documents.
You would think Scarlett would like my job, but she's turning into such a lazy little brat.
She is. Also, we should get back on topic.
Well, yeah. So we're victims of Stockholm syndrome of our sicknesses in that our brains are just turning to mush.
Yeah, I don't have any positive feelings toward how much my arm hurts, though. Don't you dare. I think I'd kill you.
You'd have to catch me first.
My whole upper back hurts.
I'll vomit all over the kitchen and then you'll slip.
My entire upper back hurts.
Alright. Give me your...
Get vaccinated, everybody.
Get vaccinated. Don't get food poisoning. Get a cat.
A biscuit.
So, from a neurological, psychological, personality perspective, mm-hmm. give me three traits that you think would make somebody more likely to develop Stockholm Syndrome in a stressful situation.
I have no idea. I have no idea.
I'm thinking introverted personality.
I have no idea.
I don't know if I
agree with the introverted personality.
Past experience with trauma, either emotional or physical, I think.
Oh, that
fear
I
of mind. Abandonment.
Yeah, I can see fear of abandonment. I definitely think past trauma could be a precursor. But I don't know if I agree, because introverts are technically, or typically, I guess I should say, much more thoughtful and don't require as much human interaction. Well, extroverts need more human interaction. So if you're craving that human interaction and the only person you're getting from your hostage is your hostage, then you're going to become more reliant on that human interaction from your hostage.
From your captor.
From your captor.
Yeah.
Thank you. I totally fucked up those words. Yes.
Yeah, no, I guess that's an accurate point. So scratch that entirely. Introvert, extrovert.
I think that's an interesting take on it, but I think...
Yeah.
That would be my guess. Also, you couldn't test any of...
Well, you couldn't test... You could do a case study, but you can't.
You could do small case studies with people that have been held hostage.
But I'm thinking past experience with either physical or emotional trauma, fear of abandonment, and...
I can see fear of abandonment. Well, especially if that's
low
the person...
Low self-esteem.
Yeah, because I think you begin to accept that you deserve this.
Yeah.
Which is
that would be my, like, neurological / personality precursor of, like, yeah. If I were to have the perfect victim, that would be, like, those are the ingredients that I want in the mix if I'm trying to create Stockholm Syndrome within a within a hostage.
And it's not necessarily that every person who develops Stockholm Syndrome has a low self-esteem or has any of those things.
No,
I think it helps. I think it'd be beneficial.
It's one of the things that we've discussed this previously about the perfect victim complex and what that looks like for different crimes.
My closet demon.
Oh God, she's a closeted lesbian.
This is not very closeted.
But this is just when you are looking for the perfect storm of how do I get this result as quickly as possible from a psychological personality.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Idea, that's where you look. That's what you look
for. And also, I think the more emotional stress you can put someone in, like having being trapped in a vault and having guns and police and media and screaming, I think that definitely builds something different than... But I also think at the same time, like, the complete sensory deprivation that Colleen Stan went through.
Oh, yeah.
I think you need... Sure. It's either one of the extremes. Isolation.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's completely sensory deprivation. I think you need one of the extremes to really, like,
fall drill into it home.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't... Elizabeth Smart... I in my humble opinion, I think should have developed Stockholm Syndrome and didn't, and I don't understand how.
I really think it was the dehumanization of, like, she was not treated as a human being for any of her captivity.
Yeah. But it's not like you need all four of those ingredients, or all whatever number of ingredients to
make
Stockholm Syndrome.
I feel like that's a pretty big one, though, right?
Possibly. Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry, Scarlett. I have a spinny chair in my room, and the cat will sometimes jump on it, and then it'll start to move, and she, like, pretends it's fine.
And she's very concerned. But
she's very much like, what just happened? I'm sorry, baby.
I don't know, but that is my hot take on Stockholm Syndrome. I think we quit while we're ahead.
Oh, are we ahead?
We're not ahead.
Are we ahead?
But we are spiraling deeper and deeper into the descent of madness, yeah. And I think both of us want a nap before Bryn gets here.
Possibly.
But so that was our descent into madness with a side of Stockholm Syndrome.
I hope you enjoyed this. If you also got your booster shot and you've had the taste of metal in your mouth ever since,
you drop us a line at sharedspiritspod@gmail.com or sharedspiritspod on Instagram. We are anticipating taking a little bit of a holiday break in the next couple of weeks, but we will keep you updated on all of our social media. That would be sharedspiritspod on Instagram. And you can find cute cat videos there, too. All right.
The cat stalks over to the window.
We will talk to you guys soon.
Bye!
Thank you for listening to the Shared Spirits podcast, created and co-hosted by Elizabeth Gay and Marissa Petticord.
Follow us on Instagram at Shared Spirits Pod, on Twitter at Shared Spirit Pod, or email us at sharedspiritspod@gmail.com.
Music by Bobby Gay and creative design consultants by Bryn Zeal and Catherine Gay.
Our podcast is recorded on Anchor.